Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Vasudev Dat, the 19th branch of the Sri Chaitanya tree, was a great personality and a most confidential devotee of the Lord. One could not describe his qualities even with thousands of mouths. Purport. Vasudev Dat, the brother of Mukunda Dat, was also a resident of Chatragram. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, it is said, Yanra stane Krishna hoy apane vikraya. Vasudev Dat was such a powerful devotee that Krishna was purchased by him. Vasudev Dat stayed at the house, Shriva Pandit's house. And in Chaitanya Bhagavat is described that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so pleased with Vasudev Dat and so affectionate towards him that he used to say, I am only Vasudev Dat's man. My body is only meant to please Vasudev Dat, and he can sell me anywhere. Thrice he vowed that this was a fact and that no one should disbelieve these statements. All my dear devotees, he said, I tell you the truth, my body is especially meant for Vasudev Dat. Vasudev Dat initiated Sri Yadunandanacharya, the spiritual master of Raghunath Das, who later became Raghunath Das Goswami. This will be found in Anchalila, chapter 6, verse 161. Vasudev Dat spent money very liberally. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya asked Srivananda Sen to become his Sarakela, or secretary, in order to control his extravagant expenses. Vasudev Dat was so kind to the living entities that he wanted to take all their sinful reactions so that they may be delivered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is described in the 15th chapter of Adi Lila, verses 159 through 180. There is a railway station named Purvastali near Navadvip railway station, and about 1 mile away in a village known as Mamgachi, which is the birthplace of Vrindavan Das Thakur, there is presently a temple of Madan Gopal that was established by Vasudev Dat. The Gaudiya Math devotees have now taken charge of this temple, and the Seva Puja is going on very nicely. Every year, all the pilgrims of the Navadvip Parikram visit Mamgachi. Since Sri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati inaugurated the Navadvip Parikram function, the temple has been very well managed. Jai Sisi Radha Gokula Nanda Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Gornitai Ki Jai. Om Agyan Timidandasya Gyanajana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Staptitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadanti Swampadantikam Pandeham Shiguro Shiyuta Padekamalam Shigurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahaganat Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sarvadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vikamsha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneswari Vrishabhanu Suti Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhischa Kripa Sindhu Bhebacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namaho Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthayam Bhutale Shimakti Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gaudavani Pacharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya De Satarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nithananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasati Gaudabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. So, this this whole section, or this section here, is about glorifying great souls. And here we come to one personality whose glories are so unlimitedly indescribable. And this is indicated here in this pastime, or this particular purport, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu makes this statement. He didn't make this statement in reference to anyone else that I can read or remember. But he said it here, and he said it three times. And he said it, when you say something three times, it has a special emphasis, which is meant to say that there is no other consideration. See, if you say something once, there may be a consideration that there is another point that can be given along with that. And if you say something twice, it has more emphasis. But when you say something thrice, as the scriptures mention, then there is no other concern. This is an absolute statement. So what is Lord Chaitanya saying? That I belong to Vasudev. I'm Vasudev's man. And why? Why was Lord Chaitanya so much overwhelmed with affection and... what's the word? Inclined to Vasudev Dad is because he had no personal interest of his own. He only wanted to see others stop suffering. He was what we say compassion personified. He exemplified that principle of devotional service, which is the heart of a pure devotee's life, and that is the concern for others. The concern for others in the terms of how to uplift them from material suffering to spiritual happiness or ecstasy. So Vasudev Dat was a personification, or you might even say the epitome, of such elements of compassion. And I'll read something here just to illustrate this point. And this is in this particular purport. There's a reference to another section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 15 of Adi Lila, verses 159 through 180. Actually, it's Madhya Lila. There's a mistake here. It's actually in Madhya Lila. Anyway, here's the verses. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's at a house with a few devotees there. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then embraced Vasudev Dat and began to speak of his glories as if he had 1,000 mouths. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu glorified him, Vasudev Dat immediately became very much embarrassed and shy. He then submitted himself, touching the Lord's lotus feet. Vasudev Dat told Sri Chaitanya, "My dear Lord, you incarnate just to deliver all conditioned souls. I now have one petition, which I wish you would accept. My Lord, you are certainly able to do whatever you like, and you are indeed merciful." The Lord is all-powerful, and he's all-merciful. So if you desire, you can very easily do whatever you want. He's getting ready to ask a question or make a request. Sounds like he's buttering him up a little. But it's not for his own interest. That's the point. He's preparing the Lord for his question. Because he doesn't want the Lord to refuse his request. That's why he's speaking like this. He's so adamant or so concerned that his request gets accepted. "My Lord, my heart breaks to see the suffering of the conditioned souls. Therefore, I request you to transfer the karma of these sinful lives upon my head. My dear Lord, let me suffer perpetually in hellish conditions, accepting all the sinful reactions of all living entities. Please finish their diseased material life." Wow. And here we go. So we'll get something more from this mood. Purport. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati gives the following commentary on this verse. In the Western countries, Christians believe that Jesus Christ, their spiritual master, appeared in order to eradicate the sins of his disciples. To this end, Lord Jesus Christ appeared and disappeared. Here, however, we find Vasudev Das Thakur and Srila Haridas Thakur to be many millions of times more advanced, even when compared with Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ relieved only his followers from all sinful reactions, but Vasudev Das is here prepared to accept the sins of everyone in the universe. So, the comparative position of Vasudev Das is millions of times better than that of Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to explain. A Vaishnava is so liberal that he's prepared to risk everything to rescue the conditioned souls from material existence. Srila Vasudev Das is universal love itself. Wow, what a statement. For he was willing to sacrifice anything and fully engage in the service of the Lord. We have to understand his statement was not pretentious or thinking that, you know, he wanted to make himself known as a great compassionate personality. He was serious, completely serious. This is what broke the heart of the Lord in such a way that he couldn't even respond to Vasudeva. His heart was so much overwhelmed with love for Vasudeva that the Lord could only respond in this way. And this is how the Lord responded. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard Vasudev Das' statement, his heart became very soft. Tears flowed from his eyes and he began to tremble. In a faltering voice he spoke as follows. Accepting Vasudev Das as a great devotee, the Lord said, such a statement is not at all astonishing because you are the incarnation of Prahlad Maharaj. It appears that Lord Krishna has become bestowed complete mercy upon you. There is no doubt about that. Whatever a pure devotee wants from his master, Lord Krishna doubtlessly grants because he has no other duty than to fulfill the desire of his pure devotee. So this is Krishna's number one concern, or number one activity, to somehow or other fulfill the desires of his pure devotees. And then it goes on. If you desire the deliverance of all living entities in the universe, then let all of them be delivered, even without you undergoing the tribulations of sinful activities. Krishna is not incapable. He has all potencies. Why would he induce you to suffer the sinful reactions of others? Whatsoever welfare you desire immediately becomes a Vaishnava. I'm sorry. Whosoever welfare you desire immediately comes a Vaishnava. And Krishna delivers all Vaishnavas from the reactions of past sinful activities. And it goes on. That was only part of the... So the point here is that the Lord is so inclined to fulfill the desires of his pure devotees that the pure devotee only wants the desire of the Lord and the Lord only wants to please his pure devotees. So this is the loving relationship between the Lord and his pure devotees. The pure devotee knows that Krishna wants all living entities to come back to him. And he has set up a system in order to bring conditioned souls back to him in loving devotional service. And the system of his mercy that comes by way of his pure devotees. His pure devotees are the carriers of his mercy. And whenever the pure devotee wants to bestow his mercy upon a fallen conditioned soul, Krishna can't say no. Krishna has to fulfill the desire of his pure devotee. That's the loving relationship between Krishna and his pure devotee. And Prabhupada emphasizes or illustrates this point. He says, even if this person is not at all qualified, even if Krishna thinks, him? Still Krishna will do it because he fulfills the desire of his pure devotees. So this is the process of pure devotional service, and this is the success that one can achieve, is to get the mercy of the pure devotees. This is the foundation for all success, to make the mercy of the pure devotees one's life and soul. Now that's a kind of a general statement. It doesn't really help you to understand exactly how to do it. But there, one thing we should understand is that the mercy of the great souls comes by the instructions of the great souls. When Prabhupada was asked many times, he would respond practically the same way to each question, the same question. Prabhupada, give me your mercy. Prabhupada, I need your mercy. Prabhupada, I'm begging for your mercy. Prabhupada, you are so merciful. And Prabhupada would say, just take it. It's available. It's just like, you know, if you're inside the house and the sun is out and you say, where's the sun? Well, you go outside, you'll see it. So we have to be, we just go into the area where the mercy is available. And what is the, where does the mercy really come from? By strictly following the instructions of the pure devotee. The more we adhere to those instructions, the more the mercy pours forth. And when one renders humble service to the Vaishnavas, and of course the great souls, then that mercy is unlimited. One will not know what to do with the mercy. There's too much of it. Shushusha stadadanas ya vasudeva kataruchi shanyad seva vipra purnya tirtana sevanat. By serving great souls, great service is done, and by such service, one gets attached to hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. This is what we aspire for. We sometimes hear and chant the glories of the Lord because we do that as a function. But that isn't the conditioned stage. We should not stay in the conditioned stage of our spiritual progress. We have to come to the platform of spontaneous attraction. Otherwise, devotional service will never reach the goal. And what is that goal? Love of God. So spontaneous attraction to Krishna means spontaneous attraction to the principles of devotional service or the activities of devotional service. So by serving great souls, then that element awakens within the heart and one is eager to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. One is eager to serve the Vaishnavas. One is eager to associate with the Vaishnavas. One is eager to perform the activities of devotional service. It's no longer a function. It's actually a feature of one's heart's desire. So that's the power of the pure devotee's mercy. He awakens that natural inclination for spiritual activities. And Vasudev Dat is so much exemplary in the form of mercy. He doesn't care. And this is true. This is not an exaggeration. He doesn't care what happens to him. He's so much selfless that if someone benefits by my suffering, then that's my happiness. That's the position of Srimati Radharani. Rani Radharani has that mood, that she wants to make other manjaris and gopis happy, even if she doesn't get a chance to be with Krishna. But if she can somehow or other assist them in serving Krishna nicely, and they please Krishna nicely, that's her happiness. Her happiness is only to see Krishna pleased. So this is the same mood here. Vasudev not only wants to please the Lord by bringing the conditioned souls back to his lotus feet. He wants to see them stop suffering in the illusion of material existence. And so therefore, he doesn't care. Let me go to hell. Of course, the Lord would never send his pure devotee to hell. But he's thinking, if that's what it takes to free these conditioned souls from suffering, then it's not a small thing. It's not a big thing. I can easily do it. So we get a little bit of indication, what is the mood of a pure devotee, or what is the heart of a pure devotee, a greatly pure devotee in this case. Vasudev Thakur is none other than Prahlad Maharaj. We know the story when Srinadev wanted to grant Prahlad Maharaj a benediction for his devotion to the Lord. Prahlad Maharaj didn't want anything. He simply wanted others to get benefited. He said, give my father liberation. The Lord said, it's already done. As soon as I killed him, he got some mercy at that point. And then the Lord kept encouraging his pure devotee to take more and more, you know, benedictions. And Prahlad Maharaj said, I'm not a vinik. I'm not a merchant. I serve you out of love. It's my happiness to serve you, not that I'm looking for something. This is an important point. A devotee will only be happy in the execution of devotional service, when we give up the desire to gain something from devotional service. Material gain, that is. Spiritual gain, we're interested in. What is that spiritual gain? That spiritual gain is to purify our heart and become attracted to Krishna and the association of the devotees of the Lord. That those are real desires, and those should be kept in the forefront. But material gain, what are material gains? That I get some recognition, I get some material remuneration, I get some position, I get something materially from my execution of devotional service. That is mixed devotional service, and that doesn't satisfy the Lord. In fact, the Lord doesn't even take interest in that kind of devotional service. It's only by the mercy of the pure devotees that we're allowed to perform mixed devotional service, hoping that he hopes that we will come to the stage of pure devotional service, because it's a gradual process. But mixed devotional service doesn't attract the attention of the Lord at all. At all. It's the mercy of the pure devotees that keep us connected to Krishna in mixed devotional service. And the pure devotees always wants to raise that conditioned soul to pure devotional service. So what is pure devotional service? That devotee becomes happy simply by the service. And therefore, devotee always looks for more and more opportunities to serve, or more and more opportunities to please the Lord in various ways. And this is the mood of Krishna consciousness. Look what Srila Prabhupada had to undergo in order to bring Krishna consciousness to the West. There's a beautiful film, probably some of you know. It's in the process of being made, and it'll come out, I think, in the end of this year. It's called Acharya. It's the life of Srila Prabhupada. It exemplifies. There was a small little version of that film. A trailer was played in Mayapur. I think it was about, how long? It was about 2 minutes or something like that. Those of you who saw it, did any of you see that little trailer? Yeah, I think it was about 2 minutes, and everybody who saw it practically were on the verge of tears. On the verge of tears. In fact, Yadavar Prabhu, who is actually the producer of this film, was telling me when he showed it in Alachua, everybody was crying for a 2 minute little, because it really touches the heart, because it really is expertly arranged in such a way it shows the compassion of Prabhupada, and it shows what he had to undergo in order to bring the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the Western world. And so that will come out as a full-length movie, or feature movie, in about, I think, September of this year. So we can see that that's what it takes in order to spread Krishna consciousness around the world. And Prabhupada said that. He says that this movement will be successful when we have the qualities of devotees who are... Oh, Lord, what is the... How did he exit that statement he made? He said that our movement will become successful when we have the quality of devotees in our movement that will be willing to sacrifice for the benefit of the conditioned souls. Like that. Because, and it's actually easy to understand, because somebody sacrificed for us. And that's why we're sitting here in devotional service. So it says that in order to understand what the gift you have been given, take it and give it to others, and then the gift that you have been given will become more and more understandable, or more and more appreciable in that same way. So this is the mood of a great devotee. A great devotee, or a devotee, wants to somehow or other share the mercy with others. We call it preaching sometimes, but actually preaching is a general term is to somehow bring one to Krishna consciousness, change the heart of a conditioned soul and make them inclined towards Krishna and towards devotional service. So devotees have so many resources, so many abilities, and so many opportunities to do that. And by the mercy of the spiritual master becomes what we say of easily available. If we simply pray, Srila Prabhupada, or do you pray to your spiritual master, make me an instrument of your mercy for others. Just watch what happens. Immediately you'll be given so many opportunities to give that mercy to others. And that's Krishna consciousness. Our movement is a missionary movement. It's not a movement of just having nice temples where we can sit and enjoy devotional service and have whatever we need in our spiritual and material life. That's not our movement. Prabhupada said, if that becomes our movement, then we'll just be like another church in the midst of so many different churches in this world. Our movement is to bring the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And how merciful is Lord Chaitanya? Anybody know? If you know, I don't believe you. The mercy of Lord Chaitanya is so deep and so unlimited that one cannot fathom that mercy. And Prabhupada would even challenge and say, try to understand the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just use your intelligence, your abilities, and whatever other qualities you have. Apply that to understanding his mercy. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai. And he says, you will never be able to understand that mercy. Look what he did to Jagai and Madai. I mean, the most sinful, the most despicable, the most abominable personalities. So degraded and so cruel. They were not only degraded, they were cruel towards others. And you're usually, when you're cruel towards others, you're the lowest of the low. So they were, you know, so cruel. But yet, they got the mercy of Mahaprabhu and they became great devotees. How is that possible? Now, therefore, this is an indication that no one can understand the mercy of Nittai Gaur. Nittai is carrying Gaur's mercy and distributing it everywhere. And Nittai is enjoying distributing the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya is just profusely giving that mercy. And what is that mercy? Just simply by the process of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one can reach perfection in life. Everything's there in Krishna's name. Krishna's name is the summum bonum, or the essence of all spiritual practice, and the principle that fulfills all of one's desires, both spiritually and materially. Everything is in Krishna's holy name. So Mahaprabhu has taken, there's a beautiful verse in the fourth chapter of the Adi Lila. Do we have that here? No, this is tenth chapter. In the fourth chapter of Adi Lila, it says that taking the garland of love of God, he's taking the garland of love of God and garland the whole world with it. And what is that garland of love of God? It's Radharani's love for Krishna. That's the holy name. Radharani's love for Krishna is manifested in the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. And Lord Chaitanya is giving that garland of love of God to even the chandalas. It's mentioned in that verse that even those who are not the lowest of the low are getting the opportunity to experience Krishna consciousness. That's Mahaprabhu's mercy. And so when he hears of the love or experiences the love of Vasudev Dat, Mahaprabhu starts to cry. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the source of everything, is actually crying in love for the love of his devotee. Amazing, huh? Totally amazing how much the Lord loves his devotee and how much the devotee wants to please the Lord. This was Vasudeva Dat's mood. But the Lord couldn't let him suffer. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Krishna's not incapable. He can liberate, even if he liberates this one universe which has unlimited living entities in it, it's so insignificant. I was just listening yesterday to a description of the universal manifestation, and that the person who was speaking was using the example of a bag of mustard seeds, a huge bag of mustard seeds, and each one of those mustard seeds is one of the universes. Now, you know how small a mustard seed is? You ladies who cook, right? Sometimes you drop them. You don't even look for them because you can't find them. You know, they're so small. So imagine a big bag of mustard seeds. How many you can... You can count the mustard seeds if you really try, but you usually don't because it's a waste of time. But there's, you know, thousands of mustard seeds in a bag of mustard seeds. It says that's how many universes, or a little bit example of how many universes there are in the material existence, which is only one-fourth of all of existence. Three-fourths is spiritual. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, he goes on, we didn't read that part, it's the following verses from the section I read, that they're like, I forgot the particular word that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu uses, like ambadaras or something, little seeds on a particular tree that has so many thousands and thousands of seeds within that particular tree. He says, even if one of the universes is liberated, it's insignificant. It's totally insignificant. And for Krishna, so therefore it's so easy for Krishna to do that. There's no problem. And that's what in order to fulfill Vasudeva Das Thakur's request, Lord Chaitanya, it's mentioned, Prabhupada mentions, all the living entities at that time went back to Godhead. But then again, the universe fills up again. Just like some people say, you know, we've got to get rid of the prisons and make everybody a civilized person. There'll always be prisons. It's just the way the material world is. There'll always be someone who breaks the law. There'll always be some living entities who leave the spiritual world and want to come here to enjoy material life or to be separate from the Lord. It's just the nature of existence. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells Vasudeva Dat, one universe, it's totally insignificant, no problem for Krishna. But still, Mahaprabhu is overwhelmed with love for his devotee, because his devotee exemplifies what Mahaprabhu came to give, the mercy of Krishna consciousness to the fallen conditioned souls. So Vasudeva Dat is a real... He's the brother of Mukunda Dat. There's a place in Bangladesh that is the home of Vasudeva Dat. You can go there. We went there a few years ago. We have a temple in that area. And a little ways away from the temple, there's the little enclave of trees. And in that enclave of trees, there's a few little cottages. And one of them is the former home of Vasudeva Dat and Mukunda Dat there. So, and there's also some nice little deities there that are displayed for those of us who come to take darshan. So this is in Bangladesh. It's in that one place where we have the temple in Bangladesh. It's not in Dhaka. Does anyone know? Pundarik Dam, yeah, thank you. It's right near Pundarik Dam. Have you been there? To the Vasudeva Dat's place? In the forest there? With the groves, yeah, it's a very sweet little place. You can sit there and just chant japa and just relax. It's such a nice, very quiet and peaceful place. Okay, so a little bit about Vasudeva Dat. Any questions, comments on the mercy of the Lord, the mercy of the Lord's pure devotee?